despised and scorned for Christ's sake. Chapter 99. Many sick people, both old and young, lie on beds and couches in certain streets of Jerusalem. They have been carried there by their relatives or acquaintances. Here lies one who is paralyzed. There lies a cripple. And at another place lies one seriously ill with a high fever. Continually more are added to this number. At last it becomes a long row. From time to time these afflicted people gaze expectantly up the street. It seems as though they are waiting for someone to come. What does all this mean? Why are all these infirm people brought here? I will tell you, but give me your full attention. We see a man approaching. He walks calmly down the street, passes the many sick people who are lying in the long row. Because the sun shines brightly, his shadow overshadows the many beds. And, look, as soon as his shadow passes any of these infirm persons, this person stands up, perfectly cured. The paralytic jumps up, rolls his bed together, and joyfully goes away. The cripple walks home, completely restored. If the shadow falls upon one seriously ill, the fever leaves him, and he returns home completely cured. Oh, how strange! How is it possible? Who is this man who walks along the street? Look closely. This ordinary pedestrian is Peter, who may be going to the temple or someone's house. In those days, many miraculous things happened in Jerusalem, for not only Peter but the other apostles also performed great signs and wonders. All the sick, blind, dumb, and lame, yes, even the leprous and those possessed with the devil were cured by the apostles in the name of Jesus, the Nazarene. It is true, the Jewish people were accustomed to the Lord Jesus performing miracles, and now the disciples of this Nazarene do the same thing. So much virtue goes out from the apostles that when Peter's shadow passes over a sick or infirm person as he walks over the streets, that person can stand up completely cured. The report of these miraculous cures soon is known far and wide. Not only the sick from Jerusalem are brought to the apostles, but also the afflicted persons from the cities surrounding Jerusalem are carried to the capital, seeking to be cured from their diseases. And everyone, without distinction, is helped. For this reason, all the sick are laid in long rows along the streets. They hope that Peter's shadow will go over them. Is it any wonder all Jerusalem talks about it? Everyone speaks with respect and esteem concerning the apostles. We read in the Bible, the people magnified them. Every day, the apostles preach the risen Christ. They warn the people to no longer reject Jesus. They tell the multitude about the riches of the mercy which is in Christ Jesus. And their preaching is not in vain, for the Lord sanctifies these sermons to the hearts of many. Read what God's word tells us. And believers were the more added to the Lord. God's Spirit worked mightily in the hearts of dead sinners. The apostles could not give salvation to anyone. No, it is God's work to convert a person. Their work was to preach the gospel and to proclaim unto the Jewish people the crucified Christ. And the Holy Ghost used this preaching to convert many. This surely was a very blessed time. No Jew dared join the congregation to obtain honor and praise, for the history of Ananias and Sapphira was a warning example for every hypocrite. However, those who in truth learned to know the Lord Jesus as their surety and Savior were baptized, but all others did not dare to simply unite themselves to the congregation of the Lord. Read this history in Acts 5, verse 12 to 16. You will do it, won't you? The members of the Sanhedrin are filled with concern. The recent happenings alarm them. They had expected this name of Jesus to be forgotten. But instead, all Jerusalem is in commotion because of the name of the Lord Jesus, the Nazarene. This name is upon everyone's lips. The Sadducees especially are filled with envy and fury. But why they? It is very simple. Didn't the Sadducees teach that the resurrection from the dead does not exist? And now the disciples of this hated Nazarene preach the resurrection of this Jesus. If this is true, they are wrong. They are mistaken, and they do not want to be mistaken. Therefore, they are filled with anger. The high priest, who is a Sadducee, stands up. He reminds the members of the Sanhedrin of the great danger which threatens. He tells them that if it continues for any length of time in this way, all the people will believe in this name. The Jewish rulers decide to put an end to it. All the apostles are apprehended and cast into prison. It seems as though it were drawing toward evening, because the Sanhedrin decided to assemble together the following day to discuss this matter. In the meantime, they take every precaution and place guards in front of the prison doors. These guards will watch to be sure the apostles do not escape. The Sanhedrin come together the following morning. When all are present for the meeting, the high priest orders a few officers to go for the prisoners. They will be examined and tried. The officers approach the prison. The keepers are standing at their posts. Faithfully, they have stood watch the entire night. Nothing unusual has happened. At least, they haven't noticed anything. "Open the door," rings out the leader's command. The bolts are pushed aside. The prison gates swing open, and they find the dungeon empty. The prisoners vanished without leaving a trace. With the perplexed faces, the keepers and officers look into the empty prison. How was it possible? The keepers had not slept one moment, and they had not seen a thing. They are faced with an unsolvable riddle. Without accomplishing their purpose, the officers return to the Sanhedrin. "We were at the prison," they report. "We found the door firmly locked and the keepers standing at the gate. But when we opened the door, we found no one inside." Do you see the skeptical faces of those rulers? But when the officers assure them they are telling the truth, the rulers of the Jews begin to waver and doubt. Again, something strange has happened which is unexplainable. What happened to the prisoners? Where did they go? How did they get out of the prison? Why didn't the keepers notice anything? All these questions rise in their minds, but they have no answer to them. Do you know the answers, boys and girls? Suddenly, someone enters the room where the Sanhedrin is assembled. He brings the message that the released apostles are teaching in the temple. chief priests look at each other with significantly, and instantly this question comes to their minds: how did the apostles escape from the prison? Perhaps you are thinking the same. You can read the answer to this question in the Bible. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, and this heavenly messenger escorted the prisoners outside. Yes, but didn't the keepers stand there? Didn't they see it? No, for most likely they were struck with blindness. Their eyes were kept from seeing what happened. The apostles were set free without them observing anything of it. The angel commanded the apostles, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." He didn't tell them they should hide themselves. No, they had to continue preaching. They must preach the words of this life. That is to say, they must proclaim to everyone the possibility of being saved in the Lord Jesus. That morning, as though nothing had happened, the disciples go to the temple and, while the Sanhedrin is of the opinion they are still in the prison, they already are proclaiming the gospel to a great multitude. You can be sure the Jewish rulers looked surprised, and when they were informed the apostles were preaching in the temple. Immediately the captain and his officers are sent to the house of the Lord to fetch the apostles. The officers obey, but dare not take the disciples with violence because the people assume a threatening attitude. If they used force, possibly they would have been stoned. Finally, the apostles go with them voluntarily. At least they do not offer any resistance. A little later, they stand before the Jewish council. With a gruff, dissatisfied voice, the high priest says, "Didn't we straitly command you not to teach in this name? But you did it anyway. You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. You intend to bring this man's blood upon us." "Do you hear this?" he says, "this man." Purposely, the high priest will not use the name Jesus. "This man." Great contempt lies in these words. But with the contempt, we also hear words of fear. They had cried out, "His blood be on us and on our children." Now they are afraid the wrath will come upon them for the shedding of this guiltless blood. This thought alarms them. And what answer did the apostles give? Listen to it. "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus. You have slain him. You have caused him to be crucified. But God has exalted him to be a prince and savior. No, he did not remain dead and in the grave, but he is risen. He is alive. We are witnesses of this. We have seen him. We have talked with him. We preach this Jesus to the people, because through him conversion and forgiveness of sins are possible. Yes, everyone who embraces him by faith through the operation of the Holy Ghost receives forgiveness of his sins in and by his blood." No, the apostles are not afraid. They felt the hatred and enmity of these rulers, but it does not frighten them. On the contrary, they freely profess their faith. Their hearts are filled with the Holy Ghost. When the Sanhedrin hears these words, a wild uproar bursts out. Perhaps some of them cried out in wild hatred, "Kill them! They clenched their fists in powerless rage. Still, deep down in their hearts, the fear gnaws. We read in the Bible that they were cut to the heart by envy and hatred. They take counsel together and decide to kill the apostles. Then they no longer can speak. They will be silenced forever. Suddenly, one of the Pharisees stands up. He wants to speak. Perhaps this is the only way whereby he can attract their attention upon himself. Probably otherwise he never would have been able to make himself understood. The uproar ceases, because they all have respect for this man. His name is Gamaliel. He is a doctor or teacher of the law. Take these men out of the room for a while, he commands the captain as he points to the apostles. They are taken out. When the apostles are out of the room, he says, Men, listen to me. Let us not be hasty in our actions. If Jesus of Nazareth really is a deceiver, everything will fail anyway. Formerly, there were more of these rebellious people. They had many followers at the beginning, but it all came to nothing. Those boasters were slain and their followers were scattered. Now I advise you to refrain from these men and let them alone. Let us also watch this matter and see what will happen. If this work is of man, it will be broken. But if it is a work of God, we will not be able to overthrow it. I seriously advise you to be careful and to wait a while. Let these men go, and let us see what will become of it. After these serious words, it is quiet for a while. They all ponder these words in their minds. Then they decide to follow the advice of Gamaliel. Again, the apostles are called into the room. The angry Sadducees cannot refrain from cooling their rage, and they command the officers to scourge the apostles. Cutting lashes come down upon the bare bodies of the disciples. After the scourging, they again command the apostles not to preach in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. They are released. Once again, they are free. Do we read that the apostles leave the room complaining and groaning because of the pain? Oh, no. That isn't in the Bible. They do not complain at all. But read what is recorded. They rejoice. Rejoice? Didn't the scourging pain them? Of course it did. The pain cuts through their bodies. But still, they are joyful. They count it an honor to suffer shame for the name of their beloved master. Now the apostles will be a little more careful, won't they? What do you think? Do you think they will? If you do, you are mistaken. We read, And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Would you also be willing to suffer and endure so much for the name and the service of the Lord? Alas, no. Many cannot even endure a word of scorn. Isn't it so? Now, boys and girls, be honest. Would you dare proclaim this name even if you would be hated and ridiculed? Alas, most of you would not. Many would be silent when they should speak. Yes, even worse, many would join with the mockers and in this way escape the ridiculing of their companions. May the Lord make you faithful, so that you never will deny your profession.